talking about sonship. I'm just going to keep talking about it. I have like 4 points. We made it through one and half of two. But every time I get back up, it's like, I just feel, I need to talk about this part. I need to talk about that part. But let's do a review real quick. I got a new toy. I do not do PowerPoints very well because even as late as Saturday night or Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm here at 9 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, I'll get it. This is what I'm going to teach. And I get here and half the slides, I feel like, I don't want to talk about that anymore. And it just doesn't flow with me real well. And so I've been trying different drawing programs. And they haven't worked too well. But I got a new toy, a new drawing program. The problem is, can you read my writing? But I'm a doodler, so here it is. And, maybe it'll help or maybe it won't. But we've been talking about five characteristics. No, let me do it. It's probably a better word. It's five levels of Christianity. And some people have a hard time with this because they, especially in our socialistic lifestyle, we don't like to think about people at different levels. And it is true that we all have equal access to God. Maybe a better way to say this is five levels of maturity. We're not born mature. We don't know quadratic equations that we learn in high school and kindergarten. We have to mature through, who are my parents? That you don't even know their name when you're born. And we have to figure out their name, whether it's Mama or Papa or Daddy or whatever, but you get my point. And so it's similar in Christianity. And So this should be all review. But the first level is believer. The second level is being a disciple. And the third level is being a servant. These are all on past tapes. If you go to Relationship Church website, resources, audio messages, you can listen to them there. It'll also tell you, if you're into podcasts, how to get the RC audio podcast and download it. And then it downloads for you automatically every week, whatever works for you. And then being a friend, and then a son. Now, this is a big deal because we want to end up as sons, and this is maturity. When you become Christians, you are a son. Just like that little 2-year-old baby is your son or daughter. But how many of that 2 or 3-year-old baby have a revelation of what it means to be a son? It takes time. And, we talked about that the key word for a believer is repentance. A key word for a disciple is imitation. Isn't it fun when you're a little kid that's 3 or 4 or 5 starts imitating you, and then you realize, I don't do that. And your spouse goes, oh, yes, you do. And you realize imitation goes both ways, but with a father is always good. And then a servant is companionship. And then, I'm sorry, I got that reversed. And then, this is why I can't do PowerPoint. A friend is companionship. I can't even spell. Y'all love me anyway, don't you? Gives hope for you. Companion. There we go. A servant is obedience. And then a son, there's a lot of words, but I've been using this, is learning. You get your inheritance when you get old enough and you've spent time in the Father's business and you know what the Father is and you start inheriting it. And I was a part of the charismatic movement for a long time, from 1985 to probably around 2000 here at the church. So, it's a good 15-year run. And a lot of these concepts about inheritance were starting to be birthed out of that. Faith, prosperity, healing. But it sort of got sidetracked because it became about getting the goods. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Not everybody, but some.
Name it, claim it.
Yeah, name it, claim it.
Blab it, grab it.
What'd you say?
Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it.
Blab it, grab it. Yeah. And I think those principles were good if they went to the second step to start realizing God has given this stuff to us because He wants us to own it so that we can use them to govern our world. They weren't, the things had to flow through us, but when they stopped at us, it became, Joshua's not in here, he gave a word a long time ago, a few Sundays ago, about a beaver and the dam and stagnant water. If it didn't flow through us to help bring His vision and who He was to the group around us, it became foul-smelling. And I lived through many of the foul-smelling parts of this. That's one advantage of being older. You've seen a little bit more than if you're 25. And so those things were good, but they needed to flow through us. And we needed to be good at all of those things so that we could change what's around us to look like Him and give Him His inheritance. Because it's still His inheritance too that we share in it. Does that make sense? And so I think the Lord is revisiting this whole thing and trying to pull it all together with the sonship. And then I think it really started taking off around the year 2000 on at least out in public, in a public level. I call it, a lot of people say that the apostolic movement started around 2000. Peter Wagner was talking about it before then. The most common name is the New Apostolic Reformation. Because to see in the 80s, the prophet was birthed on a national level. I mean, it's been around for 2,000 years, but in America, we already had, the teacher was birthed in the 70s. You remember all the teaching Bible type churches that sprung up? I know when I was a teenager, I went to, who was that big dude that filled the Omni that taught basic youth conflicts, or basic Institute and Basic Youth Conflicts, and Bill Gothard. Now, I know he's probably not ending well right now, but my gosh, I was like 14. 15,000 kids are in there. And this guy is teaching the most awesome stuff in the most boring way you can imagine.
Right?
He had overhead flippers. I mean, there was no projector there. Sort of doing like what I'm doing, you know, throwing them up on there about overhead. It was the most boringest teaching, but the most awesome material, and God's hand was on it. When I say boring, it was just monotone and going on, but God used it. Did any of you go to that? Get that big, fat, red notebook? Man, I still got that thing. There's awesome stuff in there. But that was the teaching being birthed. But anyway, there's a lot of strange teaching about the apostolic movement, and the Lord will get it all straight before it's over with. But to me, the defining thing, well, there's two defining things, but the defining thing, Jesus said, I have come to show you the Father. He kicked it off there, and 2,000 years later, He's finishing it up with a true apostolic ministry doesn't point you to yourself like I'm some supreme, like there's some supreme leader, even though I kid with Lynette all the time. I come in the door and the little ding thing goes and she'll get up and think it's a new customer, but it's just me going in and out. So this week, I change it every week, but this week I open the door and it dings to keep her from getting out from behind the head. And I go, well, your supreme leader's here, so that she knows she should, and it's just a joke. And this next week I'll do something else. But that's not what, but it's about revealing the third person of the Trinity, the Father. He's trying to close out this age if we'll let Him. If we'll cooperate with Him. See, Jesus was much more fully revealed with the Protestant Reformation. That's what it was all about. Salvation by faith. And that went on for about 400 years. And in the late 1800s, around 1900, there was a black guy named William J. Seymour. He was in Kansas City. This is 1899, somewhere around there. He was at a Bible college there. I don't remember the name of it right now. Kansas City, Kansas. And they were teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Lord wanted to restore them. And he couldn't sit in the classroom because he was black. He sat outside the door, but where he could listen. And he cried out and he said, "I want that. I want that." This guy that was blind in one eye and uneducated, he couldn't even be in the classroom. I don't remember the exact timing. I think it was approximately 2 years ago. He ends up on the West Coast in Los Angeles. And the fire, and God used him to bring the fire of God. And 105 years later, 500 million people in the largest revival ever, revealing the Holy Spirit and all of His gifts with the baptism of tongues, was birthed. Awesome story. Well, that's two out of three of the Trinity. And the Lord is and God the Father is wanting to reveal the Father and His love in that same way. See, the love is the defining characteristic of who they are. It is the greatest. The Trinity is a controversial subject a lot of times among theologians. You know, is there a Trinity? Trinity is not actually a biblical word. It means one God revealed in three persons. See, Islam says that's the number one reason Christianity can't be right, because they're monodad. They're one God. They say the Trinity doesn't make sense. That's why Islam is a religion of fear. Because with one God, you cannot have the characteristic of love. Because there's no one else to love before the foundation of the world. The biggest argument for the Trinity is love. The Trinity loved each other before the foundation of the world and created you in their heart to have a further extension of love. And before the foundation of the world, they loved you so much, it says that He was crucified before the foundation of the world. Love is probably the greatest argument for the Trinity, because you cannot have love if you cannot pour it out on someone else. And they poured it out on each other in community. And the Father, the Son, I mean, Jesus was sent to save us from our sins. That's what John 3:16 is all about. But when they asked why He's here, He didn't say to save you from your sins. He said to show you the Father and the love we've had since before the foundation of the world, before time, before gravity, before physical coordinates. I have to deal with sin because it's in the way. Is that cool or what? And I think for the last, you know, there's always pioneers, but as a general movement, the Father's love, I mean, you hear it in songs from Bethel and different things. It's because He's wanting to give us the final piece of the full picture of the Trinity. Well, why? Because I'm telling you, He's wanting to reveal all of Him in a way that He's been yearning for 6,000 years, if you believe that's when Adam and Eve was created, a young earth. If not, then whatever your numbers want it to be. But He's been wanting to reveal fully Himself, but it had to be from glory to glory, line upon precept, understand. had to be Jesus to get us into the door. The Holy Spirit, so we can start hearing His voice and He starts showing us the Father's love. That's why there's very few things I get mad about, but there's a few things that just make me mad. And that's when God the Father is revealed in this Old Testament condemn and judge mode and brought into the New Testament. And it's not even biblical in the Old Testament. My gosh, how many times did He forgive Israel for having other spiritual lovers? How many times did He call them back? There was not like one sin and He zapped them. It says He was everlasting and patient and He warned them over and over again. And even the Noah thing where He wiped out all of earth. You go back and look. If it had been me, I would have killed them centuries before. It is just not the right picture. He was as patient as He could be without the blood of Jesus. Until there was no hope. We go, well, what about all the laws in the Old Testament? There were 613 laws, not count, you know, in addition to the Ten Commandments. I didn't count them personally. I'm not that OCD. Don't be impressed. That's what some theologian told me. I've heard it confirmed a few times. Well, go back. I wasn't planning on talking about any of this. I'm not going to have the verses. But you go back. He asked them to the mountain where He spoke to Moses. He invited them to the mountain. Now He put a fence around it, but His presence was there, and there was the thunder and lightning, and He invited them to hear His voice. Because before that, they had just seen the ways of God. The plagues, or they heard about the plagues. By this point, it's been 40 years and all of them died, except a lot of them had died. The plagues, the manna, the shoes not wearing out. He was inviting them to hear God. Are y'all tracking with this? And they said no. That's why they built an ox. You know, the golden calf or the golden ox. Where do you think they got the idea for the golden calf? Because God revealed Himself, and through scriptures it talks about the four faces of God. The Father, the ox, the eagle, the lion, and the man. That's my opinion. If you go back and look at old pictures of Moses, he's got these horns coming out of his head, right? Have you ever seen those? Of light? If you go back and look, that's talking about the four faces of God that's shining out of His head. But anyway, I digress, do something. I need a diverse of this, don't I? But he digressed. He was inviting them not from the ways to hear Him. And they said no. And then you have 613 laws. All right, if you won't have an internal dialogue with me, then this is what's expected of you. Now at the cross, this is cool. The ways of God, hear God. He's now saying, I give you an invitation to be in God. No more temples made out of hands, but a living stones. Do you realize man as of yet still hasn't made anything organic? God, everything He makes is organic. So He had man, because we wouldn't meet with Him directly, make a non-organic temple. You know, first it was a tent, tabernacle, very elaborate. Then it ends up with Solomon's temple at the end. It was made by us, which is non-organic, because that's all we can make. Which is okay. I mean, it's good. But when he creates out of living matter that has life in it. He doesn't create out of stuff dead, like trees we chopped down or sand that we made into concrete. That's okay. That's where we're. That's good. Are y'all getting? I mean, this is too. This is nothing in my notes. That's why it takes so long to talk about sonship. But you know, there's 52 Sundays out of a year, right. And we'll just go with it every week. It's that type A choleric personality in me. We got to get through all this stuff. But he said, "I'm going to create." Well, he already created us, but my temple's now going to be. My life is going to be in your life. And your life is going to be in my life. That's cool. I think that's the way it probably was in the Garden of Eden. And part of that is I want to reveal myself. And I understand the concept of the fear of the Lord. Believe me, I do. I've just had glimpses of standing before the Father. Nothing like a lot of people have. Much closer relationship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And it's a fearful thing. I don't think that's a good English word because we tend to put scared and horror with it. To me, it's a deep, oh my goodness, respect and awe and reverence. That's probably a good word. That's probably more for the 21st century there. But he still invites you. And there's teachings about you can't see the Father and live. Well, there was one verse like that in Scriptures. But there's a lot of verses where people saw the Father. And He wants to reveal Himself to you in His awesomeness, in His reverenceness. I've had people go, well, you're just going to get proud if you do all this stuff. I tell you what, you'd be 1 second in the Lord's presence, you are not proud. It is the most humbling thing on earth, the most honoring thing on earth. But you realize, who am I except for Him? I'm trying to find one thing I wanted to close out on, if I can find it. Now you see why I do not do PowerPoints. But that's okay. Somebody that becomes a Christian that hasn't grown up in, I don't know what the right word is, standard Christianity in America has an easier time of going into the Father's presence than somebody that grew up like me with more teaching of sort of stay away and keep a gap. And so let me just share a few things that I've has helped me, that I've had to renew my mind. Is realize you have God's approval right now. So Romans 8:1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do y'all struggle with this? Or is it just me? It's not as big of a deal anymore, but in the first few years, I didn't want to go into His presence. You know, it's almost like being sent to the principal's office. Does anybody ever struggle with this? Maybe we've gotten past that. I'm telling you, the welcome mat's there. And I had to realize I didn't have to clean myself up before I go in, because it's never going to be clean enough. I step across on the welcome mat, and He makes you clean. Amen. And you just have to accept that He wants to spend time. I'm telling you, He is a relational person. They all three are. They like hanging out with you guys. He likes it. I don't know if there's... Need is not the right word. But if your base characteristic is love, or attributes love, You need to show love to somebody. Needs not, you understand what I'm talking about. He doesn't have needs like we do. But he has a great desire to show love. And he just likes it. And the less cleaned up you are, oh, he likes cleaning you up, man. It's fun. You just hang out with him and it just sort of falls off. I tell you what, I could counsel somebody for 10 hours on what to change in their life. But I love it when I pray over them and they have an encounter. This doesn't always happen, but they have an encounter where the Lord speaks to them. We call it inner healing, different techniques. Sozo is one that's a common technique. I'm telling you, when they have those encounters and the Lord speaks to you, 10 minutes makes up for 10 hours of counseling. Yeah, I can for 10 years. And it doesn't always happen that way, but it's great when it does. One of the things I need to realize, and makes me so appreciative of God, and we'll close out with this, is sometimes we do stuff that's just wasn't smart. We did it at the time because we, who knows why we did it. Sometimes it's because we're stupid. Sometimes because we were rebellious. Sometimes we just did it because we could do it. Have y'all had any of those? Little or small? And then we get on the other side and we go, that was stupid. Why did I do that? And depending on what you did, there may be consequences from that sin. Extreme example. You rob a bank, you're going to have to go to jail. Most likely. Depends on how well you can hide out, I guess.
How you said, don't get caught.
Don't get caught, yeah. But do you realize, as Psalm says, that he throws your sins as far as the east is from the west, which is infinite. I don't know how God does this. I've got the verse there in my notes somewhere. We can go look it up. He says he forgets about your sins. Well, how can God forget about your sins? He knows everything. If he can do everything, that means he can forget about his sins. You put it together, I can't, because you're getting this circular logic. But if he wants to forget your sins, I think he can probably pull it off. And you go to him and say, I'm having trouble today going into your presence because I feel so guilty. And I feel so condemned because I robbed a bank. You can put your own words in there. You know what he's going to say to you?
What bank?
Huh?
What bank?
What thing?
Yeah. What bank?
What bank, yeah, that's
you
right.
Don't remember it.
That's right. Well, why did you remind me? Huh? I don't know how you put all that together. He turns to the thief on the cross to his right. I don't know what the guy did. Must have been pretty bad for him to be on the cross. I mean, they didn't put every burglar on the take the time to crucify him. That was a big deal. But he did something that wasn't good. Maybe he stole from Herod. I don't know. But he got somebody ticked and did the wrong thing. What did he say? Today. Not tomorrow when you get cleaned up. You will be with me in paradise. And so he says this to you. Today. Come through the door. The welcome mat's out. And enjoy my presence. And as you go through, it doesn't cause you, I've heard people go, well, that's cheap grace and causes you to want to sin more. I don't know what, maybe it does for them, but not for me. When I do this thing and God invites me in anyway and I can be in His presence, it causes me to never want to do it again. It causes me to want to just live in this lifestyle of constantly in His presence. And there is a door. I said I was going to close. Don't ever believe that. I'm going to try to close with this. there's been times in my life I'd experienced the presence of God. And it might have been once every 3 or 4 months. This was, you know, a long time ago. And I've experienced it more and more. The door is open now, I honestly believe. And well, we can experience His presence 24/7. Now, I'm not there, but it is multiple times per day now, where it used to be multiple times per year. The door is open. Some of it's a maturity, but some of it's a knowing that He's given us that this is available. He's given us the tools to start walking into it. Before, I thought it was just an atmosphere that the worship team created, or I felt when somebody prophesied over me. He's now teaching us how to walk in His presence.
Amen.
On a regular basis.
Amen.
And I honestly believe it's 24/7. This is why I believe in the end times. It says your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall have visions. Now, I know it's a lot bigger than this. But for me, as I'm starting to get more insight on this, it's not just dreams. It's experience in His presence while we are asleep even.
Yeah.
In addition to dreams. See, your spirit doesn't go to sleep.
Right.
And this aggravates me sometimes. When I get woke up at 1:30 this morning, and my spirit's going, and my body's going, please. Maybe you experience this. I now just quickly just go, okay, Father, what do you want to do? Because I've learned I'm just not going back to sleep. So I might as well just... And you know, I'm excited about it now. And in those times, your spirit can give strength to your body. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Where does joy come from? The Spirit. You can be happy with a new toy, but you can't be... But joy has to come from the Spirit. And you can wake up... This doesn't always this way. I'm trying to get better. But you can wake up with your physical body as strong as if you had a whole night's sleep. And there are times, even if I don't wake up, I think our spirit is doing things in the night while our body is resting. Now, is that a mind blower? But I'm telling you, He is opening doors of vision and understanding like we've never heard before. Well, Craig, that's crazy. Who was it? Ezekiel that ran? No. Who was the one that killed Jezebel?
Elijah.
You know, after that, he ran as fast as a horse. You know, wherever his assignment was. I'm butchering this bad. But do y'all remember that story?
Yes.
Why? Because the spirit was so strong in him, the body had to follow. Well, how can we do that without eating and without strength? I mean, without food and all this. The joy in him ruled his body. Are y'all ready for this? I don't know how much I'm going to see in my lifetime, but I'm going to see a lot of this. Where the body doesn't tell the spirit what to do, the spirit tells the body what to do. Now, this is going to come out of relationship with the Father. I challenge you, when you go to bed at night, or if you get woke up in the middle of the night, just say, Father, I'm coming through the door. Whatever that looks like to you, remember sometime you've done this in the past. Father, I'm coming through the door. And I thank you that I'm welcome. You may hear little voices over here. Well, look what you did today. Well, I'm about to get clean, buddy. And devil, you're still staying outside the door and I get to go in.
Amen.
Or your unrenewed mind is going to change when you come in. Some of it's our own thinking because the way we've been trained or the way we talk to ourselves. And just, I'm coming through the door and then go to sleep. I think you may be surprised at things that may happen in the middle of the night. Is this good or what? Father, in Jesus' name, just bless everybody here. I just pray you bless them with the Father's blessing. With the love of a Father. And we go in eagerly anticipating what's on the other side of the door. In Jesus' name, amen. If y'all need